This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Yeah, Carl Dukes, bringing people together. A little behind schedule, but we're having fun in the 5 o'clock hour. It is the final hour of the program on the home opener for the Bravos. Appreciate folks that are down there at the ballpark. A couple guys sending us some photos. One of our listeners got a foul ball or got somebody throwing a baseball, Carl, during the batting practice. But, again, it's always a blast, as we said, whether wherever you grew up, if you're lucky enough to have grown up here in Fulton County in the old days or Turner Field. Remember that you and I, and we had a big, gigantic party. Across, we did like our own like sort of guerrilla marketing party across the street from Turner Field.
Yeah.
And we went to Jarvis.
It was the last year of Turner.
Yeah, Jarvis tried to eat the burgerizza.
Yes.
Yeah, by the way,
we told Jarvis it's a burger pizza combo that's probably about 18 inches wide. It's stacked, and basically we were like, Jarvis, you can't eat this, and he was like, no, I'll eat that in one sitting, and we're like, no, you can't finish this. We got a set of time, so we did the whole thing. We put a C note on it and said, hey, if you're able to finish this, you get the C note. And literally, Jarvis is just. I mean, like it was almost like Mike the hot dog eating contest where the guy is just exhausted at the end, but he can't eat anymore. That's what Jarvis looked like.
It was a 20-ounce beef patty with cheddar cheese. Everybody's got their wacky, over the top, stadium food. But that year at Turner Field, to Carl's point, crispy bacon sandwiched between 2 8-inch pepperoni pizzas, and that's what we tried to get. But if you remember, Carl, Jarvis got so cocky he was eating hot dogs like a half hour before the contest.
Yeah, he was content, or should I say not content, but he was so convinced that this was not going to be an issue. So yeah, he's just eating tailgate food, basically, before the contest. And then the contest started. Yeah, man, it was fun. We had a great time down there. That's what I'm saying. I mean, today, obviously, we would be there and doing our thing, but we will. We will get back to all of those kinds of things and so much more. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. Coming up, we'll talk to Mike Meltzer about the Deshaun Watson situation. More information coming out, as Watson's lawyer has now said some, not all, of these women were consensual acts. So this leads us down another road. Right. At least we'll see where this goes. So he's coming up here in about 15 minutes. Find us on social media, man. That is Twitch, ATL929 The Game. Make sure you subscribe to get that exclusive content. We're on the gram as well, Dukes and Bell. Make sure you get some Hey Man Ale Watermelon Lime this weekend. And if you can't find it, make sure you tell your package stores, hey, I want to get some of this so they can order it. Big shout out to Georgia Crown. Thank you, guys, for everything that you do. And find Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes, Chris. Let's get to the top three. All right, guys. Let's start first with the Hawks, because they are in action tonight as well. Nate McMillan, Mike, and we talked to Steve Coonan about this, about the intensity and, these games now, as we get down the stretch, we're past the All-Star game. We need to get healthy, but the intensity is going to pick up. We've got to be a little bit more mentally tough. Listen to Nate McMillan.
That's playoff basketball. That is what we're going to see. That is coming. The closer we get to this race, trying to get into the playoffs, you're going to see teams play with that type of effort, that type of physicality, and every possession counts.
And it gets back to what we were talking about. Look, I mean, Steve kind of brushed it off when I was saying, look, man, you know, Grizzlies were clowning us. He says, look, we've done some highlight reel stuff and blowouts ourselves. Either way, we got no front court. If Capella's banged up, we don't know when we're going to get John Collins back. And you said it. Remember, the Bulls made the investment in their front court. They're trying to fight for a playoff spot right now.
Yeah, this is a good Bulls team. Coverage tonight, 7:30 here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game with the pregame tips at 8. It is a Unity night, guys, so they'll have on the MLK Nike edition uniforms. Really cool. The court will be all matching. It's a cool vibe down there. And Steve Koonin said there'll be more Unity nights along the way. Braves home opener, Mike. There goes that panda, Pablo Sandoval. He says, hey, when I'm at the plate, I've got a plan.
You know, like I said, you have to be prepared and be ready. Yeah. Be ready and, you know, try to get a good swings and, try to take a good at-bats out there. If you take a good swing and prepare yourself to take good at-bats, you're going to see the result.
And with some time, you know, look at me, man. I'm nothing to look at, but I hit the ball a ton. You know what I'm going to get, Carl Dukes?
What's that?
A line of blue jeans with panda on the backs of chicks' asses. Just a thought. Sandoval.
So
love
he's
this
hitting.
Guy. He fits in perfectly with the team and the dynamic in that clubhouse they've created. And again, he's fan favorite like he was in the Giants when they're winning World Series with him.
Well, he's hitting, and we need our other guys to come along, specifically Ozuna and Albies. Hopefully, the bats get hot tonight. Charlie Morton on the hill, and the lineup looks very similar as to what you've seen here recently. No changes. Chris Martin update. He threw today at the ballpark. Snicker says he was waiting to see if he might be available tomorrow. He had that finger issue from the other day. So we're just kind of waiting to see because, again, that goes to how you're going to set up Will Smith if, in fact, you're going to need those situations here tonight, Mike.
Zach Wheeler, the former Met, and other teams, he's going for the Phillies tonight. So, yeah, we feel like we kind of let some – at least I felt two of those games in Philly in the first homestand up there slip away.
I did, too. Hey, man, it's Dukes and Bell. It's our top three at 6. Here's the other thing that's going on, the Masters. And Mike, you know, the day is going on. I think these guys got lucky today because we thought there might be rain. Mm. It hasn't rained.
No, so. I mean, I said it looks like it's going to rain in the overnight into the mid. Now, tomorrow might be a little bit different, but there are some showers, looks like, in the midday. But the good news is, if you're a Bryson DeChambeau fan, he got it in gear, and he obviously put a charge on today, and he was 5-under for the day. But the good story, if you like Justin Rose, seems like a good guy. He's led the Masters before but not been able to fill it, to finish it. He battled back, scrambled, and then had a couple of birdies on the back nine to stay right where he is at 7-under. That guy, Will Zalatoris, is at 6-under that we mentioned earlier, a relatively younger guy on tour. But the big story is who's making the cut, Carl. The number is +3, okay. And Dustin Johnson is right there right now, the defending champion from these fall Masters. He just missed hitting the ball to the upper deck, if you will, or the upper tier on 16. The ball went all the way down. So he's got a long – he'll be lucky to lag it for a par. So Sergio's at 3 over. He made the cut. We've also seen Phil Mickelson made the cut. He had even par today, so he's at 3 over. But that is the number. So I guess the biggest drama, if there is one, is Dustin Johnson going to be able to make the cut in the next 3 holes?
So we'll be watching, and we'll be talking about it and recapping things on Monday. Who's good? Do you think
and Rory's a hot
a
mess. Well, you and I were talking earlier. Remember the week we were handicapping guys? We talked about it with Damon Hack from the Golf Channel. You and I were watching a couple of holes during the commercial break. Rory is all over the place.
Yeah, mentally he's not there this weekend. I mean,
7 just, over right now.
Yeah, it's not going to happen for him. But do you think there'll be a surprise? Because now you start to look at this. This is a competitive leaderboard. Somebody is either going to put themselves in real contention to win this thing for Sunday on tomorrow, or you're going to have some people fall off, Mike. And this is where that mental toughness comes in to win these majors.
Well, I love Finau. I remember Finau lost the playoff earlier this year, and I'm like, oh, man, I want to see that guy kind of break through. But I think you're sitting pretty right now with Jordan Spieth just 2 strokes back. Justin Thomas is 4-under. He bogeyed 18, so he's going to be angry all night. Yeah. And then the other story we joked around earlier is the American Dream, but Siwoo Kim is 4-under. He broke his putter. He was so ticked off of bogey in 14. He's got a hit to finish his round using one of his drivers, or a 3-wood. But Leishman's been there, not been able to put it together. Harmon's a Georgia Bulldog. He's at 6-under. So I just think at the end of the day, I like what we heard earlier. I think Justin Rose along with Jordan Spieth, that'd be a hell of a finish on Sunday, those two paired in the final grouping.
All right, guys. News on the Falcons today. D. Orlando Ledbetter reporting that the Falcons are aligned for the draft. What does that mean? it means that the general manager and Terry Fontenot and our coach, Coach Art, that's Arthur Smith, have come to an alignment and an agreement on what they want to do with that fourth overall pick. I don't see this as something that, again, should bother Falcon fans, but Mike and I talked about this earlier in the week, and you know, when we brought it up, I said there seems to be two trains of thought here. One that, all right, I need to go get my quarterback because I'm a general manager maybe, and one from the coach who says, hey, I got a guy, and we just need to make this team better. Either way, you have to agree going into the draft on April 29th. Apparently, that has happened. So that doesn't mean that they've locked in on their guy because the draft still has to play out, guys. It just means here's where we're going to go, and we both agree that this is where we need to go. So that's out there now, Mike.
Right, and I know that there's the rumors. Again, if you're a Falcon fan, you've seen some of the stuff on the chat rooms. Falcoholic was talking about it, too. There's a report out of D.C., at least, that again, how much of this is just pre-draft nonsense, but Daniel Snyder wants himself a quarterback again. Last time he wanted a quarterback was RG3. I know that he wanted Haskins, and that didn't work out. So I'm not sure if he's meddling or they really like Trey Lance, but they would have to come to four to get him, or Justin Fields. And we could do a bunch of things, guys. I looked at three different websites just trying to find some algorithms that match up. We could trade back to the Reds, the football team, to 19, and we could pick up a first and a second, Carl, and a first, second, and third this year.
I would do it.
A lot of picks for the new general manager to build on, just kind of like what the Dolphins have done.
No, I would definitely do it. Again, if somebody's going to come up and be that anxious to do it, then that means they're willing to give up a lot.
Imagine if Najee Harris was there at 19. That'd be hard to say no to, wouldn't it? Or Travis Etienne?
Yeah.
If you like, I don't know if the Falcons like Ojulari out of Georgia, he'd be there.
At 19?
Edge rush, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's the thing, Mike. Even at that point, all the quarterbacks will have played out, you know, and you're still now you're getting to a point where you've got all these extra picks. You can draft for depth a little bit too, you know. All right, man, it's going to be crazy.
I mean, like I said, there'll be two or three more wacky storylines, but check out D-Led. He's got the blog and the article about the ships all in the same direction. Also, check out D's new aggressive avatar on Twitter. Thanks, Mike.
Would you stop? He's going to call you. He's chilling.
He's all business.
He just wants to let people know where I work and who I work for. All right, man. Coming up, Mike Meltzer is going to join us. Top 3 at 6 is brought to you by New Realm Brewing Company's Hoptropolis IPA. It's an American IPA with tropical fruit, floral, citrus, and stone hop aromatics. Hoptropolis IPA, tropical allure, juicy hop bliss. He is an attorney in Houston. He's also got a show on Mad Dog Radio, and he's been following this story with Deshaun Watson that has new information today. We'll get you filled in next.
The most important story of the day.
We got a lot going on, guys. Braves home opener tonight. Obviously, we're watching the Masters right down the street in Augusta. But this Deshaun Watson case is gotten a little bit more intriguing, and we wanted some more insight from a friend of the show, Mike Meltzer. He's a radio host on Mad Dog Radio. I've known Mike for years and also an attorney now in Houston. It's good to have you on the program, Mike. How you been, brother? You doing all right?
I'm doing well. It's been a long time since I've seen you. How are you?
Man, I'm doing great. Things are good. Blessed. Let's talk about this situation and what we found out today from Rusty Harden with Deshaun Watson saying that some of these massages, Watson's massages, sometimes resulted in consensual sex. Okay, so this is something we hadn't necessarily heard. Mike, what's the deal here and how this adds to what we already know in this situation?
Well, it wasn't surprising, guys, that this is what Rusty Harden mentioned today. So there are a couple of developments today. There were two hearings on actual motions in these lawsuits. One was at 7:45 Central Time this morning. The other was at 11. Rusty Harden, Deshaun Watson's attorney, won both motions, and I can get into, you know, what that means. But then Rusty Harden did something that he has not done throughout the last 3 weeks, which is hold an actual news conference for a little over an hour, about 3 hours ago here in Houston downtown, where he talked about the nature of the case, why he's taken so long to give sort of a more comprehensive response to the media. And one of the things that he mentioned was that basically they're starting from the presumption that Deshaun Watson did nothing wrong, and that if anything did happen, that they conceded there were some consensual encounters. This was not surprising because in some of their statements, at least in one or two of them in the last couple of weeks, the Rusty Harden team had mentioned consensual encounters. And so this is something that I expected them to use this defense throughout this process.
Because we, again, local kid, everybody's pulling for him, and we're trying to give him, obviously, the benefit of the doubt. We had thought, and I argued this earlier as you were just tuning in, guys, Mike Meltzer joined us from H-Town. He's an attorney, and he's on radio, and he's talking about what's going on with Watson. I was curious why, you know, Deshaun just didn't start paying people off and get this behind him. But his intent was to take this all the way, it sounds like.
Yeah, and I think there are a couple things with that. So he could have tried to settle what originally was only one claim in February, and there were some messages that were released on that front a couple days ago after a really damaging news conference that happened on Tuesday here from the accuser's lawyer, Tony Busby, that led to the Nike suspension of the endorsements and other endorsements then falling by the wayside for Deshaun Watson. But I've heard people, guys, say, you know, why doesn't Deshaun Watson just settle all of these right now? That may not be possible. You're talking about 22 accusers, 22 plaintiffs here. And even if he wanted to settle, they would have to agree to settle. That it could take a while for those settlement agreements to work out. I just think it's an unknowable thing. And also, as of last Friday, we found out there was at least one complainant, a criminal complainant to the Houston Police Department, who have now opened an investigation. I think there are rumors of a second. And so the police are investigating this. And I just think it would be too quick to assume that Deshaun Watson can somehow, like, wave a magic wand and get all of this to go away.
Gotcha.
Mike Meltzer, our guest here on Dukes and Bell. Mike, so what's been the reaction there? I know what the reaction has been here. I mean, he's from Gainesville, as Mike said, which is, you know, just north of Atlanta. And people are trying to, you know, keep positive in the sense that they want to believe that Deshaun didn't do this. But what's been the reaction there? Because he still wants out of Houston. He still wants a trade. He still doesn't want to be the quarterback there.
Correct. It's been interesting, Carl, because you probably won't find many cities where a star athlete wants a trade and the public is still behind him. That was the case for Deshaun Watson for a long time this offseason. A lot of fans in Houston felt like, hey, it's fine that he wants out because that's how mismanaged the organization's been run. Then the lawsuits hit. I would say support erodes a little bit, but it's still kind of unknowable. I think the tide really started to turn on Tuesday during that news conference I mentioned from the lawyer for the accusers, Tony Busby, where he had one of the accusers, Ashley Solis, there who gave a statement. Another accuser named Lauren Baxley gave a statement through one of her attorneys as well. And so hearing that for an hour, there were some really damaging allegations thrown out there. That's what led to all the endorsements being dropped or suspended a couple days ago. I think a lot of people did not like that news conference. And that's where I think the tide of public perception really started to turn on Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, man, it's a tough story. I mean, where does this go? I mean, ultimately, because the toxicity, as Mike Meltzer joins us, guys, from Mad Dog Radio, ESPN Radio, an attorney in Houston, where does this go? Because we've heard all the stories about the dysfunction in the Houston front office, but needless to say, they hold the high ground on this because right now other teams might be hesitant to talk to them, especially with a commissioner's exemplars. And when does that drop, by the way, from the NFL?
Yeah, there are a couple things that you asked about. So I do think the Texans hold at least the moral high ground in that, you know, Deshaun Watson might want out, but, like, man, that's got to be an awkward situation given the 22 accusations you're facing still, and a Sports Illustrated story, by the way, right, with an unnamed anonymous woman who basically gave her own story, her account of giving massage that she did not feel comfortable with giving to Deshaun Watson last week. So, yeah, he doesn't really hold the moral high ground on the team. The commissioner's exemplars is interesting because typically the NFL uses that during the season, or at least when guys are about to be paid. Last year, they put Quentin Dunbar and DeAndre Baker on that list right before training camp when they had that whole robbery deal down in Florida. We're still a couple of months away from training camp. Nobody in the NFL is getting paid right now. Like, yes, guys are signing contracts and they're getting paid the signing bonuses, but in general, these guys are paid during the season. And so that exempt list is basically for the NFL to kind of put a player on ice, where the salary still counts against the salary cap, where the player, though, doesn't count against the 90-man or the 53-man roster. But I feel like the public is treating the exempt list as if it's some sort of like indefinite suspension, which it most certainly is not.
Right.
And what I don't know, guys, is I don't know when the NFL is incentivized to put Watson on the exempt list. I do know that their investigation started a couple of weeks ago, and I imagine that investigation will take some time.
Mike, legally, from your legal perspective and what you do,
yep.
What are the percentages that you feel like Deshaun is going to be able to beat this? Because here's the court of public opinion is one thing. And Mike and I have talked about this. Mike Bell and I have talked about this, where, you know, you have the court of public opinion that he's fighting, but he still deserves his day in court. But now you're talking about multiple cases. In your legal opinion, how tough is this going to be for him to defend himself and get out of this?
So far, Carl, these are all civil lawsuits, which means the burden of proof is called preponderance of the evidence, or call it, you know, more likely than not, 51% versus 49. Whereas in criminal court, it's obviously proof beyond a reasonable doubt, which is the highest standard that we have in law, because if we're taking away someone's freedom, we better be pretty sure that that's the case. When you say beat these cases or win, it's hard because almost all cases settle. Very few cases go to trial. And I'd be really surprised if any of these 22 cases actually went to trial.
So in civil cases, it rarely goes to trial.
Rarely. And in Houston, in Harris County, like, to get to a trial date, the courts have been backed up since Hurricane Harvey. That's three and a half years ago. The COVID-19 pandemic has obviously not helped. To get a trial date on something that is a little bit complex like this one, this is very complex, it's going to take 3 or 4 years. I would be very surprised if any of these cases actually went to a trial. Rusty Harden said earlier today that they're absolutely planning to take him to trial. I don't expect that to be the end result. That would really, really surprise me.
Wow. If you're just tuning in, guys, getting great intel from Mike Meltzer, sports radio host for Mad Dog Radio, ESPN Radio, and attorney, joins us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Local kid, we've been pulling for Deshaun Watson, kind of cringing as more and more news drops. So, yeah, you're kind of in limbo, maybe if other teams have an issue with this. So it sounds like he's going to play for the Houston Texans this year.
That's what I can't really figure out, because as you mentioned a few minutes ago, Mike, I don't know that any of this, even if it removes like Deshaun's moral high ground, I don't know if any of this is going to make him want to play for the Texans. Right. So I'm fascinated to see how this is all going to play out also from a football perspective, because like right now, I think Deshaun is untouchable from the standpoint that the Texans employ Deshaun Watson. They employed him a month ago. They employ him now. They don't have to do anything. Like, whereas if a team trades for Deshaun Watson, they're proactively doing something. And I have maintained for a couple of weeks, a team cannot trade for Deshaun Watson right now, because I believe, and I'm not saying other people do, but if you trade for Deshaun Watson right now, you are making, as a team, the affirmative statements that all 22 of these accusers are lying. Like, that's the statement you'd be making by making a trade right now. That's why I think for a trade to be possible, there's going to have to be some progress made in terms of this litigation. There's going to have to be some sort of clarity or resolution. I think any Watson trade talks for right now would be completely on ice. After that Tuesday news conference, there were people in Houston saying that it's on the table, the Texans release him. I don't think that's realistic, because there would be like a lot of accounting issues with that. Like they can't release Deshaun Watson now. Like they'd be in violation of the salary cap. They'd have to go after his guarantees and his signing bonus, all that kind of stuff. So the bottom line is this: I still think a Watson trade is very possible, in the sense of he's 25 years old. I imagine at some point he's going to play in the NFL again. But there has to be some clarity on this process, because no NFL team, in my opinion, can trade for Deshaun Watson right now.
Mike, great stuff, man. We appreciate
Jeez,
you.
Louise.
I'm glad you're doing
guys,
well.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, man, appreciate you, and we'll talk soon.
Man. Sounds good. Thank you, guys.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, as we said, it kind of puts in perspective. There's a guy who knows what's going down in Houston, Carl, and it's a lot to process, and that's boy. What a year this is going to be. I mean, for all the wrong reasons for Deshaun Watson. Because you got to go down, as he said, there's just so many cases. You can't compartmentalize it.
Well, And Mike, to think again that there was going to be a quick resolution to this, there just isn't. But the NFL, to Mike's point, not only the teams that are interested in him, but the NFL needs clarity. They're not going to pull the trigger on putting anybody on the exempt list until they have a little bit more clarity. So time will tell. Mm-hmm. We've been saying this. You know, we all have to be patient in this process because we just want him to get it right, one way or the other, right? Either he was involved in a lot more than what he's saying, or he wasn't. And hopefully they get all of this figured out. But until then, it looks like things are going to be on pause for Deshaun. It's Dukes and Bell, guys. We'll keep you updated as more information comes out. We got to get to tonight's game winner, though, Mike Bell.
Yeah, man, it is the home opener for the Bravos. Looks like the weather is going to cooperate. I think the rain is going to kind of miss the ballpark based on what I'm looking at on the AccU Dukes and Bell weather radar. In other words, just the Weather Channel. What's your favorite ballpark food item? We joked around earlier, the last home game, or home opener, I should say, at Turner Field, Jarvis tried to take down the Burgeritza. What do you got to have? I mean, Carl, is it just as simple a hot dog, or I mean, you like some peanuts or Cracker Jack? What is your favorite food item? Or, if you want to expand this, maybe you've been to other ballparks around the Major Leagues, and you can say, hey, the Dodger dog is the best hot dog. 404-741-0929, the best food at the ballpark.
And the winner is...
Time to take the game winner on Dukes and Bell. Your last chance to sound off on today's show. So don't stink. Call now, 404-741-0929. Today's question...
Take me out to the ball game. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. What was your favorite thing, by the way, when you were a kid at the ballpark? Was it always just a whole good old-fashioned hot dog? I mean, for me, now this is unique, I believe, to the Northeast... Carl, my dad, as sure as they'd have Tom Seaver on the bump for opening day, my father would get mustard on his tie from eating a knish. So you get a big old hot dog, you get the Nathan's, and you get the knish, or the Hebrew National, and basically a wallet of potato, which is a knish. And the old man invariably would be then dipping a napkin in his Harry M. Stevens concessioned beer, which would be, I think back in 70s prices, probably a $2.50 40-ounce Schaefer. And then he'd try to sponge some of the mustard off the tie. Childhood memories. It's, you know, you can smell it. Smell the old ballpark smell. Anyway, 404-741-0929. What was your favorite item at the ballpark? Hey, man, you're on the radio. What you got for us?
In 1896, when the Cracker Jack came out, I still love it to this day. Can't beat it.
There is John Fricke, Carl, when the original Cracker Jack was sold. Carl is grilling right now. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for your favorite food item at the ballpark? Hey, man.
I like the flask that I sneak in. That's the best for me. 20-ounce water bottle's got plenty of calories to get through a game.
Flask. Yeah, man. The old days... The minis in your socks under your jeans, that was always a standard operating procedure. By the way, my favorite food, I mentioned coming in the break, Dodger Stadium. I know that San Diego's got great food, the fish tacos, we've talked about it. I think every once in a while, I forget who does the rankings on it, but I still love the Dodger dog and the nachos, the Dodger game. The food's some of the best in Major League Baseball.
No doubt about it. Give me a brat at Wrigley or maybe the nachos there. Red Sox have great food, too. They've got an unbelievable crab sandwich, Mike.
Right.
Can we be honest about something, boys, real quick?
Sure.
Yeah, we know Carl wasn't grilling, Mike, as you just said. He was picking up his 8-piece from Popeye's. That's what he was just doing right there.
I didn't order. I wish I would have. I didn't order. No, man. I was rubbing my meat, so I was just
Well, earlier
prepared.
Today, we found out that Brad Nessler was got a kick out of Squidbilly preparing his butt for all the neighborhood and that his meat would be prepared at 1 o'clock this morning. But again, guys, thanks for hitting us up on Twitch. You can watch the show while we're doing it live, and also you can follow us on Twitter. Put them up, C-Dukes, Mike Bell, ATL. And don't forget, hashtag Dukes and Bell, tailgate at home. I know some of you guys will be cooking on Saturday or Sunday, watching the Masters. Going to try to squeeze some golf in as well. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. Ballpark food, what you got?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Ain't nothing like sitting there with a bucket of that popcorn while they just pour the butter over it and a cold beer.
True.
Preferably one of them, hey, man, watermelon lime if we can get it out there.
Look for it, baby. Check, as we always say, check your provider, check your local package store, and make sure that they, again, just going to ask them, and then the guys at Georgia Crown will hopefully bring the brew to you.
he's right about just butter popcorn for some reason. I mean, you know, I like the specialty foods, but there is something about just the simpleness of a hot dog, popcorn, peanuts. Right. I mean, you know, just the simple things. He's right.
No, man. I know that in some cases when you order those crazy food items that all the ballparks come up with now, I can't. It's got to fit in my one hand and the beer in the other, and then in the seat. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't want something. I gotta use a knife and fork on at the ballpark.
Yeah, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work.
And everybody kind of went to that. That was like the go-to the last couple of years.
Yeah, because Mike, they're making a killing. This stuff's like $17-$18 a pop.
Right.
Would either one of you try the fried crickets that they sell at the Seattle Mariners Stadium?
No, but I think they did them at the Hawks. When the Hawks when we had the stadium, didn't they?
Yeah,
or the arena?
We were doing the show at State Farm, and Puffy K brought us some stuff. He goes, here, try this.
That's right.
And it tasted like almost like wasabi, like poppers. You know, like those little like wasabi, you know. Like
we've had them, Chris. We had
them. Well, yeah, we didn't. If you didn't know, it just tasted like something crunchy and with spice. And if you've eaten enough fast food, you've probably eaten something that's a bug that's made its way into the fryer at one time or another. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. They got some great food. Obviously, they got the burgers down there. I mean, was it Holman and Finch, right, at Truist Park?
I'm tweeting at Doug Howard, who just picked up Hey Man Watermelon Lime at Bullock's. So he said, I got the last one at the store. That's what's up.
Thanks for supporting our retirement fund. You guys are the best listeners out there. And thanks to Taylor and Oconee. They're going to be making more of this than the Hey Man. We really think you guys are going to love it. Hey Man, you're on the radio, bro. Your favorite ballpark stadium food.
Well, it was when Walter Banks came over and patted me on the shoulder. And he said, man, we ain't got no Hey Man ale, but this is your last beer.
By the way, Walter is such a sweetheart, and that's a guy that it's amazing when you think about all the people, you know, that we've lost in the sports world and the Braves. We talked about, you know, Don Sutton, Phil Niekro, obviously Hank Aaron, and Walter is still out there, man. God bless him, and hopefully stay safe.
No doubt.
What a sweetheart. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. Yeah. What you got for us,
super
man?
Guy. Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Hey, Mike, real quick, man. My dad is real close with Dusty Rhodes. And we love when you do his impressions, man. It brings us back, and, you know, it brings him back to life for us. Thanks. It's really special, man. I just want you to know that real quick.
Thanks.
And I guess my favorite ballpark food would be at the Bins. They got a donut shop, and then they got those little almonds, the sugary almonds.
Yes. Yes. I know what he's talking about. That stuff's money. You get like a little funnel. They're like a paper like hold thing for the almonds. I know what he's talking about. Good
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah. Are they warm?
I believe they are warm nuts.
Yeah,
warm.
Yeah.
Hey man, you're on the radio, bro.
Nothing like warm nuts.
Favorite ballpark food? What do you got?
Hey man. Hey man, when the budget allowed, it was the crab cake from Maryland from Memorial Stadium in Baltimore.
Oh.
Yes, yeah, that's another place.
You can still get them at Camden Yards, and it got that Boog's, remember Boog's Barbecue?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's still there, but that was a spot. I mean, we're talking early 90s when I lived in D.C., but they had, that was like the first cool custom ballpark that went back to, you know, the old style as opposed to those like circular cookie cutters. That was like the first one that had all the food and all the amenities.
Camden is great, man. It's a great spot. If you've ever not gone to a game there, I mean, we don't play the Orioles often, but just if you're going to make, you know, people do these ballpark checklist or, you know, bucket list. That's a cool place to see a game, and the food is great. He's right about that.
The title of today's show, by the way, boys, Bo's Butt and Warm Nuts.
Bo's Butt and Warm Nuts. We got time for one more, brother? All right, hey, you're on the radio, bro, whether it's here or there. What's your favorite ballpark food?
What?
Hey, man.
But tell them what's your favorite. Say cotton candy.
Cotton candy.
Good answer. Good answer.
Me too.
Your mom will wash it later.
Yeah, it'll stuff, be all over.
Stuff never comes out, man.
That's awesome.
That's cute.
Hey, big shout out to Jeff. Jeff tweeted at us. He says, much as I hate the Phillies in a great way, I appreciate their interaction with the fans. Baseball's back, and his son's there. He got a ball. And listen, yeah, man, this is what it's about, right? This is the interaction that we've missed out on. So, Jeff, thanks for tweeting at us, man. Appreciate it. Also, we do have Mimecast, correct, Chris? I'm sorry, yes?
That we do.
Okay, sir. So Mimecast, as always, protects this show, guys, when it comes to email, and it can protect your business as well. 40,000 organizations trust Mimecast to keep them safe from phishing, business email compromise, the risk of ransomware. Learn more at Mimecast.com. That's Mimecast.com. This email, let me go back. Earlier today, comes at us in regards to the Braves and the opener, and with it being an opening night. So this is from Devin. Devin says, fellas, appreciate you guys talking about the Braves, and I'm excited because I'm taking my son tonight to his first baseball game.
Nice.
And he says, you know, last year I wanted to do this, but obviously we could not. So I'm taking advantage of it, even with limited capacity. And I'm just hoping the Braves are able to get back at the Phillies for what they did last weekend. Really enjoyed the show. Devin, thank you, man. Just want to give him a shout out and appreciate him and hope you guys have a good time tonight. Mike, what is it? It's 50% capacity, right, I believe?
I believe that's what they're going with right now. And again, a lot of folks want to see the pregame stuff. I'm not sure. I don't know. Guys are asking us on Twitch. I don't know if the Braves are streaming some of the pregame stuff you may or may not see on Bally Sports Network. Still can't get my head around saying that.
I know. Well, hey, they'll have an app and we'll be gambling soon.
Right.
Hey, man, they already have the app. We're just not gambling.
Imagine the idea, Carl, of just sitting there somewhere overlooking the ballpark and rolling dice. Yes, please. Yes, yes, yes.
Next thing you know, you want a pool out there.
I want it.
All right, man, let's get out of here and clear our throat.
Dukes and Bell are wrapping up another show, so it's time for Let Me Clear My Throat.
And big shout out to Craig, man. Craig Chapman is, he says, home opener for the Braves. We ready. We ready. He's got food all on the grill, so he just hit us up. Hashtag Dukes and Bell tailgate at home. Thank you so much, Craig. Send your picks this weekend. Get some Hey Man L watermelon lime. Let us know what you think, man. We're curious. We want to know what you guys think. We love it. And it's not just because our faces are on it. We love it because it's a really good beer, and we think think you guys are going to dig it too. All right, guys, big shout-out to all of our guests today. It was a busy, busy show. Dane Brugler from The Athletic talking about the draft. Great stuff with him. Go check it out at Odyssey.com. Thanks to Mike Meltzer, who just came on in this hour talking about Deshaun Watson. We had a chance to talk to Steve Coonan as well today, and our buddy Joe Patrick, our Braves insider. All those interviews online at Odyssey.com. Monday, who wins the Masters? How have the Braves fared over the weekend? Did the Hawks turn things around after last night? We'll see tonight as they play the Bulls. You'll listen to that right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Pre-game at 7:30, tips at 8 o'clock. And we'll continue to dive deeper into the draft. Literally 2 weeks, guys, next week to the NFL draft and G-Days right around the corner with the Dogs. Lots going on. Great time of year. Hey, man, Mike Bell, before you get out of here, Chris, great job. Bo Morgan, executive producing. Mike Bell, clear your throat.
Hey, man, two things. I like to see Justin Rose win. He won at Marion at the U.S. Open back in 13. Like to see some of the better guys that are, you know, elites get a couple of majors. So I'll be pulling for that guy this weekend. And then Draymond Green's comments. We mentioned it earlier in the show. We joke around. You don't want to sound like the old guys. Man, these kids are soft. These kids, why I oughta. But that's basically what Draymond Green said about this generation of NBA players. In a podcast with with Kevin Durant, he said that, you know, I want to talk some blank to these guys, and they just want to be friends with everybody. He goes, I don't get it. Look, I'm not saying the Hawks got to get mean and go Kermit Washington on somebody next time they go Harlem Globetrotters like John Morant throwing it on the glass, but we need a little bit of edge. I hope we've got somebody in that locker room. I'm looking at you, Clint Capella. Let's not get messed around in the front court.
Rest in peace, Earl Simmons, better known as DMX, passing away at age 50 today. As we look back, and he is one of the most recognizable MCs of the late 90s, early 2000s. If you're into hip-hop like I am, you know DMX. Even if you're not, you probably heard his songs being out and about. His first five albums all debuted at number one. No rapper has ever matched before or since. His creativity, his style, his delivery, how heartfelt he was, his energy will certainly be missed. DMX, rest in peace. If you love the show,
you tell your friends.
If you don't,
you just broke your putter on 15.
The Masters, a tradition like no other. I'm Jim Rome.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it.
I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.